This is Cheryl McQuaid. It's November 2nd, 2005. I'm with the Lansing Fisher Body Historical Team. We're in the Labor Relations Conference Room preparing to interview J.D. DeWitt. First, we're going to go around and announce to everybody that's present in the room.
Mike Fleming.
Marilyn Coulter.
Jerry Smith.
Doreen Howard.
J.D., would you state your name, spell your last name, and state your address for the record?
My real name is John D. DeWitt. I go by J.D. I live at 16765 Austin Way in East Lansing, Michigan.
J.D., are you married?
Yes, I am.
Do you have children?
I have two sons.
Did you ever serve in the military?
Yes, I did. The United States Navy.
And what... When did you first come into this plant? What year?
Came in here in 1990, around 1990 in May.
May of 90?
May of 90.
Was it, what was the name of this building at that time? Was it Fisher Body, BOC?
It was a BOC. It just turned into BOC. It went from Fisher Body, I think, to Buick Olds Cadillac Group.
And what, why did you come into this plant?
Well, I was asked to come to help facilitate installation of new equipment at model change, and the request to come here was by a close friend, Jim Zupkus, who was previously our plant manager here.
And what kind of reception did you meet when you came in here? Did the people on the floor or skilled trades, or, I mean, were they kind to you, or?
Everybody in the UAW has been great here, as in all your work and your career, you run across a few people that don't get along with you, but 99% of all the people have been great, and I've tried to work with them also.
Excellent. So, what can you tell us about this plant, some of the changes that you've seen in this plant?
When I came here, the plant was being readied for a new model change. That was the Pontiac Buick Oldsmobile car, the N car, I guess. And we were making changes to body, paint, trim. And primarily the work that I was involved in is the conveyor rearrangements. Plant used to have a number of long conveyors, and we broke those up into numerous different conveyors to facilitate the build schedule and quality.
How much conveyor is in this plant? I've heard that it is miles.
It's approximately 28 miles in the this building in Plant 1.
28 miles.
Yeah, and there's various types of conveyor from chain on edge to overhead power and free to electrified monorail.
Michael Fleming.
Hi, Judy. I see you were a Navy aviation electrician. While you were in the Navy, can you talk about when you were in the Navy and anyone you might have went in the Navy with that you work with now, any acquaintances that you came in from the Navy with?
Not really, because I went into the Navy from Akron, Ohio, and then I went to Norman, Oklahoma, where I went through recruit training, and then I went on to aviation electrician school. From there, I was transferred to the Naval Air Station in Brunswick, Georgia, and I became one of the crew members in the lighter-than-air squadron there. Lighter-than-air stands, as most people know, it's blimps, and I spent my whole tour of duty flying in airships. From Brunswick, I went from there to Elizabeth City, North Carolina, and then I finished up at Lakehurst, New Jersey.
So, if I understand you, you are a blimp aviator.
Right.
I don't think I've had the opportunity to meet one of you all. Could you talk to me just a little bit about blimp and, sure. And how that works?
Blimps at the time I went in had some primary functions were LORAN, long-range air navigation equipment. And then also in the later years when I went to Lakehurst, New Jersey, it was for airborne early warning. We used to take these airships up and go out and patrol the New York air defense sector, and you monitor planes through those areas. And if they don't have a flight pattern filed for travel through there, then we used to call up the Air Force base there, and they would scramble jets out to investigate or make an interception or whatever might be the case.
Well, let me do
it. I don't know if that tells you a little bit about.
Well, what it tells me is that you're a very unusual individual. You run across aviators, but not very many that fly blimps. Well,
blimps, are helium, and as they burn off fuel, they become lighter and lighter. So you have a winch on there, a hydraulic winch that you go out over the ocean, you drop it down, and you pick water and pump it into these tanks to create ballast to, you know, to maintain
sure.
your level of flight.
Wow.
Doreen Howard.
How did you get to Lansing, Michigan from all of your travels? You were in quite a few different states.
After I came out of the Navy, I went to work for Pittsburgh Blake Glass Company in Barberton, Ohio. And from there, I went to work for Goodyear. I went to their engineering school, engineering training. And then I got transferred to a Motor Wheel Corporation and went into the foundry there. It's the old centrifuge foundry. First as a maintenance foreman, then as a superintendent of maintenance. And when I left there to go into this line of work, I was the plant engineer. It was the last job at Motor Wheel. Of course, Motor Wheel's no longer in business, but it was a great organization.
And is that when you hired into General Motors?
I went into this conveyor work. I started working for various conveyor companies. And then I used to be vice president, general manager of Warwick Conveyor, which is a division of Hall Industries. And there I went to Bristol Steel, kind of freelanced with a number of companies, Jarvis B. Webb, ACCO, Conveyor-Matic. Most conveyor people are somewhat transient because they move around the country with these various jobs.
Mike Fleming, J.D., you mentioned that your good friend Jim Zupkus. Would you like to talk about that relationship and the official body time that you had here?
Well, we became friends through being members at Walnut Hills Country Club and playing golf together. And he was playing golf with a guy one time and told him that I had a lot of experience in conveyors. And he approached me and wanted me to come to work here. And I said, well, I've got a job right now. I was out in Provo, Utah, putting in a steel mill conveyor. And he asked me if I could help on the weekends. So I started here working like Saturday and Sunday. And when I finished that job, I came here as a promise that I would stay 3 months. And now I've been here 16 years.
That story sounds similar to some of the individuals that come in to work. They originally come in to work at our facility for, you know, a year or two, and they end up staying 30. is there anything about the culture in Fisher Body that you noticed that might be a little different than some other cultures that you've worked in?
Not really. Of course, when you work in a labor plant, labor people stay together, and I think that's the way it should be. But I felt that the Lansing organization, with all due respect to other companies that I work for, I've always felt that Lansing was very labor management oriented. They seemed to participate together and try to solve problems jointly, and so that was that's my thoughts on that.
Sure.
Cheryl McQuaid, did you ever meet anybody in the plant that just kind of stuck out? You just became great friends, and do you have any friendships in this plant?
Oh, many. Probably one of the friends that I'm very close with is Jerry Morse. I knew Jerry from before. I knew Asa Bigelow used to work for me when I had an electrical contracting firm. He used to be my field superintendent. And those are two that stand out to me. Jerry's a very close friend. I became great friends with Bill Namanis and Chad Hoon. And probably because they were assigned to work with me and learn about conveyors, and it's great to see they've moved on to the Lansing Delta plant, and they're both going to be involved in conveyors there. But there's a lot of skilled trades people in here that are just too many to name one or two, but most of them that I got regular dialogue with was involved in what was called our conveyor task force, and if you want me to elaborate on that, I can.
I didn't know there was a conveyor task force, please.
When shortly after I came here and we got the plant up and running from the model changeover, there was many problems with regard to conveyors. Couldn't get funding, couldn't get the maintenance work done, couldn't get it scheduled, and we organized a conveyor task force that involved quality people, involved millwrights, electricians, pipe fitters, the safety people. Denny Reich was involved in that for a long time. Dale Kramer, the predictive people. So we would meet every Wednesday. And I remember some of our early meetings we started, and people came, and then it kind of dwindled a little bit, the attendance. And I talked to Jim Zupkus about this, and he showed up one morning with his coat and tie on and said, told everybody how important, and this is a must meeting. And it was very helpful to have him come and tell the people how important it was to come to these meetings. And we started creating a matrix of work, and then we would prioritize it, and from there we would solve these problems, and as they were solved, they would come off of the list and new ones would go on. And the problems were varied and many, from safety issues, breakdowns, root causes of why it broke down, couldn't get funding, and the management here was always supportive of me. Seemed like I was always the one to go up front and ask for money, but I was not very bashful, because if we build a good case, they always got us the money. And I think that's why we were successful in the amount of cars we built here in Lansing, because we got money to repair things, to schedule. And that, to my knowledge, right now, the Delta Township has already started a conveyor task force, and I went to Lordstown last week and had the opportunity to tell them the benefits of this, and they're in the process of creating a conveyor task force group.
Excellent.
Doreen Howard, you talked about going to other facilities and discussing this task force. Is our plant the first plant that had this type of a group?
I think Lansing was the first one to really ever officially call it a conveyor task force and involve that many people. My experience is one of the things you have to do is you have to let the UAW be involved in it. I mean, I went last week and told how important it is to interview people. You can have a labor guy and a management guy. I don't care if it's your shop committee man or whoever. Pick some people to be on it. You have to involve the UAW. You cannot do it with just engineers. The work has to, you have to get the involvement of the UAW or it will not succeed.
Since you've been to other facilities, how does our facility compare to other ones that you've been in as far as the amount of conveyors that they have and the types of systems that they have?
Well, I would say we probably have more conveyor than almost any plant. Buick City had a lot. I worked over there. But because of the two-plant system here, you know, body and then trucking the bodies over to chassis, we probably had as many conveyors as any plant that I've worked in. Lordstown has a lot of them, but there's a lot more employees there, too. But I don't even think Lordstown has as many conveyors as Lansing Car Assembly.
Mike Fleming, J.D., you mentioned the fact that you were always one to go up front and confront the the management concerning the money issues that you had. Was it as easy in other plants to go and have ask for funds and procure funds as it appeared to be when you went here to get things done?
I really never worked in other plants the way that I... Lansing was the first plant that I worked in where I was really their person under the and orchestrating getting this work done, so I can't tell you. All my other experiences were as a contractor, you know, and then the paperwork processed internally by some GM person.
So that might be one reason why you stayed here as long as you have. You kind of enjoyed the fact that you were getting something accomplished, is that?
Oh, definitely. It was the work has always been challenging, and any time that you work with conveyors, it's challenging. But if you think about it, the conveyors are the lifeblood of a plant. When the conveyor stops, there's a lot of people that are idle. It involves productivity, quality, and the longer you can keep those conveyors operating and avoid breakdowns and stoppages, the more profitable you should be and the more quality you should have.
J.D., talk about some of the the holidays that you spent here and what you all did as a group on the holidays around Fisherville.
It's an amazing thing. I think up until the last few years, the only holidays I ever had off were Christmas and maybe New Year's. And because you have that time between Christmas and New Year's, you could always bank on you're going to be working, either doing maintenance work or rearranging the line or equipment to facilitate the requirements of either body, paint, or trim with regard to conveyor path changes or new equipment or maintenance work. But you could always figure on working during the holidays.
Did you all have any like celebrations inside the plant, dinners or whatever, you know, around the holidays?
Well, I think everybody that worked in Fisher Body never went hungry at Thanksgiving or Christmas. They're always, as far as, I don't think there was any official company sponsored. Numerous times at the end of projects, one person that came to mind was Leonard Borman. He would always have some kind of a luncheon brought in for people to show appreciation for getting all this work done during the downtime. But as far as an officially sponsored dinner, I don't ever recall that, other than people brought something in.
That's more of what we're speaking of. Did you have potlucks?
Everybody brought in a dish, and my dish was always cowboy beans.
Cowboy beans. What was that like?
Well, that's a story. I'm a Western fan, you know. I got a home out in Arizona, and I would bring those in, and you could almost bet every time that somebody, half a dozen people, want that recipe.
What are they?
Hmm?
What is cowboy beans?
Cowboy beans are red beans cooked in bacon and onions and a few other specialties that I throw in there. Green peppers, and they're cooked in a tomato paste. And I think you had them.
Yes, I have them. They were very good.
Sounds good.
J.D., are there any other fun stories that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I'm sure that there's a lot of them. I can't think of any one in particular that is, you can probably think of some. Can you?
Yeah, you've been all over the plant.
I wouldn't say there's any one thing that was... I've always tried to do a lot of laughing. It makes the day go by. And since the plant's gone down, I've probably laughed more every day with Jerry Morrison, these guys, because we take time to laugh. And there's not a lot of laughter when this plant was operating, and you come in at 4:30 in the morning and you got to push buttons and expect 28 miles of conveyor to start up, especially when it's below zero and your paint shop conveyors are full of paint and they don't want to start. I'm missing one other person that I thought was, and I should mention him because he is a great guy. It's Dale Faulkner in paint. He was a great guy and a hard worker and probably like me, a little bit short fused, but they always want to do the right thing.
He's a good guy.
Marilyn Calder, are there any major successes that you were really proud of while you were here over your time being here, or something that you were really proud of?
I give all my credit to the workers who did the work. Yeah, I give all the credit to them. Sure, I may have a lot of ideas and things, but it takes people to do it. I give all the credit to them.
Well, JT, I really appreciate this opportunity to interview you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
It was great.
I had one extra question. You said you started work at 4:30 in the morning.
That's Doreen Howard.
Thank you. What time did you leave here on a normal day? How many hours would you work in a normal day?
Well, normally I would be coming in at 4:30 Monday through Friday. And, of course, if you start that early, you should finish early. But back in those days, it was common to work 10, 11 hours a day. And I think for the first 7 years that I was here, it was routine with 7 days a week.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
J.D., how was the, in your view, what was the safety like in the plane?
I'd like to comment about the overall safety here at the Lansing Car Assembly. I think it's probably as good as any safety policy between the UAW and management. It's just incredible. They've really worked and should take great pride in what they've accomplished here with regard to safety. It's been a pleasure to work in a plant where people think about safety, and I'm hopeful that they would continue these practices on into their new plants that they're building, because there's been a lot of benefit to the people and to the employees and contractors for working safely.
You know, and I have to concur with you. Our safety record is second to none. Although, as a conveyor person, I'm sure you heard of the incident that we had in the plant due to conveyors.
Yes, I was working that day, and an individual went up into 3X in the trim shop, the new trim shop area up there in 3X by the door line, and went up on a lift and went up in between the trusses, and after break, the conveyors start automatically, and he was out of position and ended up pushing him and his lift into a truss, and it turned into a fatality.
J.D., that individual, was he a outside vendor, or was he an inside employee? Do you have
no? He was. This was during these model new startup time from changeover to a new model, and he was an outside contractor. He was a pipe fitter.
So
it was an unfortunate thing, and one of the dark days for me when you have a fatality.
Well, certainly, we realize that we would never want that to happen. But again, I think when we look at our overall record, what would you have to say about that?
Well, I think if you look at the Lansing Car Assembly and the organization here, or with what UAW and management have done, the millions and millions of hours that have worked, and very few lost time accidents, and it's taken a lot of work. It will continue to need attention as they move forward into a new plant, and they should just keep doing what they've been doing.
Well, J.D., I thank you for your comments, because we really work hard at safety here at LCA.
Thank you.